Welcome to the Heart Zone, featuring George Cannon. This broadcast is a time of teaching and encouragement from Curwensville Christian Church. For more information, we invite you to visit us on the web at www.curwensvillechristian.org. And now for a message from the Heart Zone. Here's George Cannon.
All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles. We're going to look at two different places today. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 6. So if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 6. But if you could also turn to Luke chapter 11. That's just the next couple of Gospels over to Luke chapter 11. And what you're going to find when you go to both of those passages, that they're the Lord's Prayer. One is the account that Jesus gave in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. The other is the account that Jesus gave with his disciples in instructing them how to pray in Luke. And so we're going to focus on both of these passages today as we talk about talking with God. And so today I'm going to talk about, if you think about what we've talked about, what we don't need to pray about. That was a couple of messages ago. Then what our focus, who we is that we're talking to, that he's our Father, but yet he's God. And then where should we start with our prayer is, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done. Today we're going to talk about praying for ourselves. We say, well, I don't need instruction about that, George. Well, obviously Jesus thought so. Sometimes we need to be kind of guided in how we pray. Now, why is that? Well, let's talk about our conversations with God for a moment. I just have two things I want to point out. Let's talk about what we typically talk to the Lord about and how we talk to him. First of all, here it is. We struggle with being totally self-centered in our prayers. Do you know what I'm saying? We struggle with being totally self-centered in our prayers. So let me give you an example from my life. Most of my prayers are about me. That's pretty bad, George. No, I'm just being honest. Depending on what the day's going on and what's happening in my life and what's going on in the struggles in my life, I tend to, like most human beings, when I talk to God, I'm talking to him about me. Do you understand? Me. Maybe I say, you know, your will be done, your kingdom come. You know, maybe I start off there, but I'm not focusing there. I'm not hanging out there. I'm talking about me. Why? Because in the essence of who I am, I'm selfish. You understand? We are corrupted beings who are self-centered. In fact, James kind of talks about this a little bit. James, talking about our selfish desires and how it affects prayers, mentions this in James chapter 4, verses 2 through 3. Here's what he says. You desire and do not have, so you murder. So he's talking about our selfishness getting to where we're getting aggressive. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. Well, there it is, George. He says we should ask. No, but listen to the next part he says. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, to spend it on your passions. Do you see what I'm saying? So even how we ask or what we're asking may be corrupted. So that's the first thing I want to talk about, how we typically approach conversations with God. Here's the other thing that I think is really interesting, because some of you would say then, well, you know, didn't he say, George, because we looked at it just a few weeks ago, that he knows what our needs are before we pray, so why even bother asking him anything? Well, here's the second point I want you to see. While the Lord knows our needs, he still wants us to talk with him about them. He still wants us to talk with him about them. While he knows our needs, he still wants to hear us talk to him. How do you know that, George? Well, he just said in Matthew 6, the Lord knows what we have need of before we pray, but then he guides them through a prayer, and some of the petitions that he gives for them to pray about, like we're going to see here in a moment, is meet my daily needs. Protect me from the evil one. Help me to forgive people. Now, isn't that a legitimate need? learning to forgive someone, right? So he does want us to talk with him, even though he knows. The whole purpose in telling you that he knows before we pray is don't make it all about what your prayer is. And you think about it, if you look at it from the standpoint of a relationship, you don't interact with a person that you're in a relationship spending your entire time talking about what you want. There has to be more to the conversation than that, right? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at two passages today, and we're going to focus on this final part of his prayer. And I want to talk to you about talking to him about your needs. So let's look. First of all, let's start with Matthew chapter 6. Look at what he says in verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. So what we're going to talk about here, first of all, is our needs. All right, so I want to point out two things here for you and I to understand. Two things. The Lord wants you to ask him about meeting your daily needs. Now, when I sit here and talk to you about wanting to talk to him about stuff, I need you, in your mind, to think about the stuff that you normally talk to him about. And I want you to divide them in your mind into two groups of things. I want you to talk to him and have in your mind the group of things that you need him to do something about immediately. What are your immediate needs? What are your immediate daily needs? Think about those. But then also there's a lot of stuff that we talk to the Lord about that we want him to answer that aren't in the immediate. They're long-term stuff, right? God, I need a new truck. Really? Do I need a new truck? I have a vehicle that I can drive. You know, do you understand? That's not a need. That's what we call a want, right? Now, the Bible doesn't use the word want. We use that word. But the Bible refers to them as desires. So I want you in your mind to delineate with the things that happen in your life, the things that you pray about that are needs. Okay, so like yesterday we had some folks in our extended family that had some health needs, and so it was an immediate thing. Somebody was going to the hospital. That's a need. Lord, we need you to act in this situation. But then there are other things that are just desires. We call them wants, right? They're not immediate. So Jesus is saying to us here, when you pray, look, the Lord wants you to talk to him about meeting your what? Your daily needs. And if you focus on that, here's what I want you to see. I think when we do that, you'll be shocked at something. What do you mean I'll be shocked? You'll be shocked at how often he answers those prayers. Seriously, if you wrote them down, that you were talking to him, Lord, I need you. And it's more than just give me a space at Walmart to park. But it's, Lord, we need you to act in this situation. We need you to work in this loved one's life. We need get right in the immediate. You might be surprised at how God does work or gives you peace to let you know it's going to be okay, where you sense some movement of God in your life through answers or through even just calmness and peace in the midst of it. Well, does that mean I shouldn't talk about my desires then, what I call wants, George? No, here's the second thing I want you to see. The Lord is interested in your desires and can respond to them. So you can still talk to him about them. But those kind of things, when you talk to him about them, those desires you have, those are things you give him and you leave them with him and you wait to see what he's going to do. Let me give you a couple of different passages of Scripture. They're very interesting to me. So like verse 4 of Psalm 37. Psalm 37 is my favorite psalm. But listen to what verse 4 says. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Isn't that interesting? Now, how would he know what my desires are? Well, he knows all things. Yeah, but sometimes you talk to him about your desires. But there's a condition there, isn't it? Delight yourself in the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Make him the focus in your life. And he will give you the desires of your heart. Here's another one. Psalm 84, verse 11. Here it is. For the Lord is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. God is the one who gives us desires. I've seen that. What do you mean? I've seen that. There have been times where I kind of practice prayer in the sense of an ongoing conversation with the Lord. And sometimes I mumble with him. Do you know what I'm saying when I say mumble? You ever been with someone? And they just keep talking, they're mumbling, and they're thinking about something, and you say, what did you say? Oh, that doesn't matter. And of course it meant something to them, but they're just talking out loud in the conversation. I do that with God. And some of the things that I've mumbled about through the years have been things that I wanted something to happen about. There's been times when I've walked into the building here and I said, you know, it would be really good if this situation could just be taken care of. And within 24 hours, it got taken care of. And I'm sitting there saying, you heard me. You heard me. And I was in awe. I just had that happen here in the last couple of weeks. God, you knew what my desire was, and you showed this to me, or you showed me something that answered that, and you heard my heart. What was the key? Well, go back to Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord. What is that? Have a relationship with him. And you go to him and you talk to him about your daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. But sometimes you talk to him about the desires. And he can respond to those. I'm not saying that he will sometimes. Sometimes he won't. Look, there's a lot of times I've prayed for things that I thought were right things and God didn't. And I look back on it now and I'm saying to myself, man, I am sure glad you did not answer that prayer. But in a way, he did answer that prayer, right? No. Be willing to take a no. So the first area he wants us to focus on is, okay, we've already seen in the prayer, what is it? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our Father, that intimacy that we have with him. Also, but it's God. What are we saying there? Your kingdom come. That's the big thing. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Then you say, Lord, here's my needs. And I know some of you are praying this. God, I'm trying to make ends meet. I don't know how to do it now. Then tell him. I'm trying to make ends meet. You know what's going on. Like, okay, is he not aware of what's going on? Then tell him. God, we need your provision somehow. Let me tell you something about God. If you intimately love him, he takes care of you. This is going back to 1997. We are in a congregation, not here. We were pastoring a church plant. And that year, something tragic happened for Lori and I, and that is we went a month and a half without getting paid. And there was some kind of stuff going on in the church. It had nothing to do with us. It was people, whatever, with their ties. But you know, God, in his grace, He took care of us. How do you know he took care of us? Because like a week before the first paycheck didn't come, one of the men who had cattle gave us a veal calf, told us where, what butcher to go to, how, tell them how we wanted it cut up, and he filled our freezer with a cow. That wasn't the only time. He did that a second time. God took care of us. He met our needs. Do you understand? I met our needs. He is interested in hearing you talk to him. That's the first area. Here's the second area. Look with me now. Let's turn over to Luke. I asked you to turn to Luke as well. I want you to turn to Luke, and I want you to focus on verse 4. This is the hard one. What do you mean the hard one? Forgiveness. I think anybody here who's ever had to deal with the issue of forgiveness realizes it's hard, right? And ongoing. Here's what he says. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forget everyone who is indebted to us. Two things I want to point out here. Two things. Here's the first one. Seeking forgiveness for your sins is a key part of prayer and the relationship. It's a key part. It's not just something you throw out there. It's something that is meaningful. What do you mean? Well, when you have a relationship with someone and the one person does something that hurts the other, at some point there has to be a seeking of forgiveness for that relationship to go on. Is that not right? Because if there is this stuff being left out in the open that's undone, that hurt that hasn't been dealt with, that relationship is not healthy. Did you understand what I'm saying? That relationship isn't going in the right direction. It's the same thing with the Lord. Well, you say, I thought the Lord forgave me when I got saved. Yes, He forgave you. You're not going to hell for your sin. But the fact is that you entered into a relationship with Him. And the reason why He calls you to ask Him for forgiveness is because you realize when I sin, I'm still hurting you, Jesus. I'm still hindering our relationship. And so when I go and ask for forgiveness, I'm going and asking you to forgive me because I hurt you. I offended you. I angered you. I know you've forgiven me, but please forgive me for what I've done to our relationship. This is why it's got to be a part of our prayer. You can't just go to prayer and act like everything's okay when you, in reality, let's be honest. Here's the reality about us, right? We're sinners. We sin. We do wrong things. We hurt each other. Sometimes we do them ignorantly. What do you mean ignorantly? There are sins that we commit that we don't even know we're committing. And they're an offense against the Lord. And I'm going to go to Him and ask Him to meet my needs? Yeah, but I need you to forgive me as well, Lord. Yeah, but here's the hard part. It's easy to ask for forgiveness for yourself. The hard part is this second part. Look at me. Talking to God about forgiving others is important as well. Here's the thing. It's real easy for me to go and ask God to forgive me. It's a lot harder for Him to ask me to forgive somebody who really hurt me. Because I'm a human. I want to hold on to the anger. I want to hold on to the offense. I want to hold on to what that person did for me. In fact, I make these unrealistic expectations in my mind. I think to myself, well, it would be great if that person called me after all these years and said to me, I'm sorry I did this to you. Well, you know, I've learned now through life that they don't even think that they've done anything to you. They don't even, won't ever make the call. And for a lot of them in my life, they're now dead. How are they going to call me and make that phone call and say, I'm sorry, I did something. Forgive me. I need to forgive them. So an important part of life, because here's the thing. I don't think, if you haven't realized this, forgiveness is a process. It is not a one-time event. You were never called in the Bible to forget the hurt done to you. Forgiveness isn't forgetting. The only one who forgets is God, because he takes our sin away from us as far as the east is from the west. Do you understand? The only one who can forget is the Lord, right? We're not the Lord. So what we do is we go to prayer and we ask for forgiveness for ourselves, but we also ask him to help us to what? Forgive others. And sometimes you think you got it under control. Sometimes you think, okay, I'm there. I've gotten over it finally. Wow, Lord, thank you for helping me with that. And not a month goes by and there's a song that gets played or some kind of incident happens and boom, fresh memories and fresh hurt comes right up. And I've got to immediately go to the Lord and say, Lord, I forgive them. Help me to forgive them. Help me to forgive them. Because the anger has come back. The hurt has come back, right? So I go to him, I talk to him about my needs, and I also talk to him about my desires, but it's up to him whether he answers those things. I go to him and I talk to him about forgiving me, and I talk to him about forgiving others. That's important. There's another area that I think most of us forget to even pray about, and Jesus tells us right in this passage what we need to do. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 6 and look at verse 13. Here's what he says. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's the final two things I want you to see about praying, okay? If you're going to pray for yourself, yes, spend time asking about those needs. Yes, spend time talking to him about the issue of forgiveness for yourself and you forgiving others. But there's one final area that you need to pray about, which most of us, including me, don't spend any time praying about. It's the issue of protection. Protection. What do you mean? Well, here it is. First thing, it's important to ask the Lord to not guide you into situations of temptation. That's what it is. Lead us not into temptation. If you're walking with the Lord, you are trying to be led by him through the Spirit, through your daily life. And what you're saying to him is, Lord, don't lead me into temptation. Because let's be honest, folks, you live in a world filled with temptations, right? And what you're doing is being proactive from the beginning in your prayer life as you're talking with him, because you know that he goes with you everywhere you go. You say to him, Lord, help me not to be led into temptation. Because I know me. I like to think I could stand. Well, what did the scripture say? Take heed lest you fall, right? You think you can stand? Take heed lest you fall. The fact is, we're not that strong. James even gives us the whole progression from desire, temptation to desire, and it manifesting itself into sin in our lives and then ultimately resulting in death. Death. Consequences. So I'm going to go to him and I'm going to say to him, Lord, don't lead me into temptation. I'm going to start out my day that way. I'm going to be thinking about that throughout the day. Temptation. There's a second area that he prays about here with regards to protection. This one definitely we don't think about. Here it is. Asking God to protect you from evil is a priority. God, protect me from evil. Protect me from evil. You say, well, you mean Satan? Yeah, Satan, but also just plain evil. It doesn't have to be just Satan and his demons. It can be just the evil that's in our world. And have we not woken up to the reality at this point that there's evil in this world? Seriously. And we need to be praying, protect me from evil or the evil one. Do you understand? That needs to be a part of our prayers as I start out our day. Lord, protect me from evil. And this is what Jesus told us to pray about. You say, well, isn't that self-centered too? No, 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 folks, listen. In this instance, I'm praying when he tells me to pray. And the important thing is that when I'm praying it with regards to my relationship with him. Because I'm trusting him to provide my needs. Yes, if you give me my desires, that's great, Lord, but I'm trusting you to provide my needs. Yet, Lord, I'm asking you to forgive me so that our relationship is good, but with that, also to help me to forgive others. And then, Lord, for the sake of my relationship with me, because I know when I sin, I hurt our relationship. I just ask you for forgiveness. Lord, don't lead me into temptation. I'm weak. God, please protect me. Protect me from the evil one, from the evil in this world. Help me to be the person I need to be. See, the prayer flows out of, when you look at these components of the prayer, they flow out of, they're not just things that we arbitrarily throw up at him. These are things that flow out of, hopefully, your relationship with him. And if we go back to Psalm 84, he withholds no good thing from them who walk uprightly. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37 says, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. The key is the relationship. And this is how we talk to him. So my question is, as we close our time, do you want that relationship? Then talk to him. Just talk to him.
Hi, folks. This is George. I want to thank you for listening this morning, and I want to tell you about a free app that you can get for your mobile device that will allow you to access all the materials and information you need about our church in one device. Simply go to your app store on your Android or Apple device and search for Kerwinsville Christian Church. The app is free, and what you'll find there is everything you need to know, plus all the teaching from our church as well as this program. And we hope that you will utilize that in your search for Christ. Until next week, folks, take care and may the Lord bless you.